Welcome to HerCast with Dr. Chito. Hi, today we have an amazing episode. And the title of this episode is Understanding Puberty with Dr. Chito. This episode is quite close to my heart because over the, when we say almost 2 decades of being a gynecologist, I've had mothers and teenagers struggle with the transition through puberty. So in this enlightening discussion, we'll be focusing on physical changes that occur during puberty, from growth spurts to development of what we call secondary sexual characteristics. So we'll talk more about that. Puberty brings a multitude of transformation to teen bodies. Join me as we delve into the science behind these changes, exploring their significance and offering practical guidance for both your teenagers and their caregivers. So get ready to get a deeper understanding of the physical changes that you see in puberty and how to navigate them. Knowledge is power, and we're here to empower our girls and our women. Welcome to HerCast with Dr. Chito, where we're on a personal journey of transformation, one that's all about her, the everyday girl, teen, and woman. I'm Dr. Chito, your guide and companion on this thrilling adventure. So I'm going to try and define puberty in a very simple way. Puberty is a time in your child's life when they transition from a child to an adult. So that's just the simple way to see puberty. What we're going to go through now is what are the stages of puberty in girls. So I didn't emphasize this understanding puberty in girls. As I said, I'm a gynecologist, so I'm going to focus more on girls today. But in the future, we're going to have an episode that also talks about puberty in boys. All right. So what are the stages of puberty? So the stages of puberty starts with what? The breast bud. We call that thalarche. So kids will see this between the ages of 8 to 13. They now feel, mommy, there's a bump in my breast, or they'll call whoever the caregivers and show that I feel like something really hard in my breast. And that is called the beginning of breast development. And that's how puberty starts in girls. That goes between the age of 8 and 13, as I said. Then the next step is that now you may notice also what we call pubic hairs, hairs in the private area. And this also will typically follows the breast development. All right. So again, you see it within the same age range, 8 and 13. We call this puberty. All right. So that's the next stage of what you will see in puberty. Then you get the growth spurt. You know, that spurt where all of a sudden your child's height just bursts. And this, when you say spurt, in because it moves fast. You just see that your child's height increases really quickly, all right? It's a rapid growth in height and weight, which typically occurs early to mid-puberty. So we're looking at maybe between the age of 10 to 11, around the age of 10 to 11, but it will peak between the ages of 12 to 14. We call that the growth spurt. Now, most times, 2 years, average of 2 years of seeing the breast buds, you get to the stage we call menarche, and that's when the onset of menstruation. And I will say one or two things about that, because I think that's the part that gets most caregivers a bit nervous. And this literally marks the beginning of a girl's reproductive years, right? When they see their period. All right. So we kind of see this between ages 12 and 13. So that's really the average age where you see that. And again, remember I said it's called menarche. Then one of the other things you notice during this time of puberty, they start getting hairs under their armpits. All right. And that's normal too. They get hairs under their armpits. We see this, I mean, between again, 8 and 13. And that's called axillary hair growth. Then widening of the hips. So that's when you see girls start widening their hips. There's an increase in the width of the hips, which occurs as part of body's preparation for childbirth in the future. So that is we just call maybe widening, has no specific widening of the hips. And that's what you see. And that's one of the changes we see in teenage age. And one of the things that happen to kids as well is acne. Pimples is a simple word for it. And that's really because of the hormonal changes that occur during puberty. All right, so acne, which is called pimples. So many people remember, if you remember when you were a teenager, you used to deal with, all of a sudden you see breakouts, and sometimes you used to panic, make kids really anxious when they break out, but that's normal, and that's just because of the hormonal changes. All right. So what I did for this episode was look back 20, almost 20 years of, or almost, well, I like to use the word 2 decades of my practice, and put together questions that I normally got from mothers. So we're going to look at that. One of the questions was, when will puberty start for my daughter? I already said that most times before, between the age of 8 and 13. All right. And I also have talked about the physical changes with another question, what to expect? What are the physical changes to expect? And I just went through that. Another one is, how can I talk to my daughter about puberty? The first thing I will say is, if you want to have that talk, make sure it's in a comfortable setting for both of you. So choose the right time and place. And I always try to get people to start having the talk about puberty by that age of 8, so that you do the talk before they first notice the first breast bud, so they don't get worried or anxious. And like we will hear in, we're going to talk more, I guess, in further episodes, how the emotional aspects can be handled as well. So start early. It's never too early to talk about puberty. Begin the conversation before you think your daughter may start experiencing physical changes, okay? So she feels prepared and informed. It really does reduce anxiety, both for not only the child, but also for you, the mom, actually, or the caregiver. Use language they understand. I mean, an 8-year-old will only understand very simple words or simple examples. So there are many things, good, great books out there that really show you examples of how to talk to your girls about puberty. Be honest and direct, okay, about what to expect. Don't be like, oh, I'm not gonna say this, I'm uncomfortable for that. No, be honest, be direct, and reassure that it's normal and a natural part of growing up. Encourage questions. Do you have any questions? Always ask her, do you have any questions you want to ask mommy or any of the caregivers? This is also very important, and provide accurate information. If you have to do your own research and you have to, of course, study and see, then do so, or ask your gynecologist or your pediatrician about what to ask and what to tell your daughter about puberty. All right. Discuss also personal hygiene. That becomes very important because they're growing axillary hairs. They may eventually start their menstruation. So hygiene is a very important. Share your own experiences. You've gone through it yourself, so share it with them and let them know what your experience was, so they understand and they can identify with that, that they identify that, okay, mommy, it happened to mommy and she understands what's happening to me as well. Start then to also address body image and self-esteem, right? Discuss about body image, self-esteem with your daughter, emphasizing that everyone's body develops at its own pace. Remember, most times they're in school at this period and they're, oh, this is not happening to me, this happened to her, why is it not happening to me? So you must really tell them about the fact that we all develop at our own pace and at our own time, and keep the conversation going. It's not a one-time conversation. It's open communication throughout the process, so the child knows they can come to you with any question they have concerning puberty, okay? Now, another one that comes up is menstruation. I remember once I walked into my kid's school, and this parent that knew that I was a gynecologist came up to me, panicked, anxious. She was near tears. And she said, oh my God, I just saw that my daughter just had her period. And I was like, oh, that's nice. How old is she? Oh, about 10. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell her. What do I pack the pads? And she was so nervous. And I realized that not only does a child, and if this is what the mother is feeling, you can imagine the child that woke up in the morning and saw a period. And that's again why I come back to educating your child about what to expect. Because if you told them about having menstruation, they would not be surprised and they'd be ready foreseeing any kind of bleeding in the future. So I had to sit her down and educate her on not only about the menstruation, but also about how to manage her daughter's menstruation with your daughter. The first thing I'm going to say is, of course, educate your daughter about menstruation. Explain to her what it is, why it happens in simple, age-appropriate terms. Provide information about the menstrual cycle and include what to expect in terms of timing, flow, and duration, okay? provide menstrual supplies that are easy for her to handle, whether it's access to products like pads, and there are other forms. I know a lot of parents are not open to using things like tampons, but it's also available as a definitely an option. Menstrual cups, and we have sanitary pants as well. So provide those menstrual supplies and show her how to use it and tell her how to change it as well. Teach proper hygiene practices, knowing that when you do change your pad, always wash your hands and how to dispose of those pads. So it's very important. Address discomfort and pain. Some kids will have pain and discomfort with their menstruation, and they should be able to tell them that this is expected and know how to address it as well. Promote healthy habits and normalize the period talk. I try to get people to talk about periods in open spaces, because why I'm saying that, we have to break this whole thing about being shy or being ashamed to talk about something that happens to us naturally. And it's part of the beginning of our reproductive years. And I think childbirth is a beautiful thing, isn't it? So why would what helps us to lead have those babies be shameful? So I like to encourage period talk, and I do that a lot. So let your child not have any shame or stigma. Address whatever emotions the child may have, be it fear, anxiety, be it even just any kind of emotion she has. Validate her feelings and let her know that it's normal to experience even mood swings, the ups and downs of having your period. And as we know, as caregivers and adults, we know that there are emotional changes during, and they must also be aware that it could be a normal process. Offer privacy and respect. So give her the space to manage her own menstruation as well. Let her go into the bathroom herself and change her pad. You can always supervise if they're younger, but I think it's important to make sure you give them that privacy as well, all right? And be prepared for things that may come up. We're going to talk about that next. Be prepared for some irregularities that may come up and in period, so that you're not caught off guard. And of course, at the end of the day, if you can't handle all these parts of it, always know that you can seek advice from your gynecologist or from your family physician. It's very important. That's something I don't take lightly. I like, bring your daughter and we sit down and we'll talk about the different stages of puberty and what to expect, because they're better educated before it happens, all right? Another big question is, are there any health concerns I should be aware of during puberty? Now, I'm going to try and take this as slow as I can, and I'm going to touch on like the most common health concerns that could happen, especially during puberty or during, you know, menstruation, which is where we get a lot of the questions, or where we see a lot of the teenagers during that period of time. And again, you know, sometimes they're not even up to 12 or 13 when they see their period, because usually if you started your breast buds at 8, then about 10 year, when you're 10, you could start seeing your period, because it's usually about average of 2 years. So one thing we see at this point sometimes is irregular periods. So this month they can have a period, next month they might not have a period, then it skips to another month. And so they can't have a defined pattern of their period. And it's normal for menstruation to be irregular when it first begins. But of course, if it continues to be regular or it changes its pattern in any other way, then it's good to be for your daughter to be, or the girl child to be evaluated to make sure that nothing else is going on. Another is menstrual pain. All right. You will find out for those, especially in secondary school or boarding schools, that there are some kids that may have pain that is so significant that it actually takes them away from school for that day or for the days that it occurs. They will even experience nausea and vomiting. And you find that is affecting their quality of life and obviously causes lots of emotional issues, because it's very hard to go through that every single month. This is another place where I try to get mothers to bring the child in so that we can give the child options and try to manage that pain so they have a better quality life. Okay, so there are really reasons for that. And sometimes we have other diagnoses that we find out that could cause that as well. So that's another reason why you should take your doctor, your the girl or the daughter, your daughter to see the gynecologist. Another one is heavy menstrual bleeding. Because, you know, what leads to your menstruation is a whole thing in the brain, and it goes to, we also have glands that bring out the hormones that now regulate the period. And in the child, in the young person, sometimes this is not matured yet. So this is what leads to irregular periods and also heavy menstrual bleeding, all right? But sometimes it's so heavy that you can see that some kids will have very low blood levels, right? Anemia. And that is a concern to us because they're tired, they don't know how to involve themselves in school activities or even family activities, they're always sleeping off, and that really does affect their day-to-day life. And so once we have very heavy menstrual bleeding, and sometimes it will pass clots, and so it's really, and that's really causes a lot of anxiety. We would like to see that child as well to make sure the child is fine. Acne. Acne is a normal thing that could happen during puberty because of the hormonal changes. But where the acne seems to be very severe or persistent and, you know, and challenging to the child, then of course seeing a specialist dermatologist or a specialist in that area is important to help the child to bridge that gap of acne. Body image and eating disorders. People know that there are a lot of emotional and behavioral changes that come to puberty. And that's why our next few episodes will focus on the emotional and behavioral changes of puberty. Here, I'm going to focus more on the physical. But what I will say about that is that puberty is one of the most vulnerable times for issues with body image and eating disorders. So you have to watch out for signs of unhealthy eating. You got to be more observant about that. Excessive exercise. You know, I mean, my first teenager is a boy. So, you know, one of the things they started doing, like, mom, I want to go to the gym. I'm like, just do push-ups at home. But they start craving for more exercise. And body image is such a big deal for both girls and boys. So you have to watch out for eating disorders and any kind of distorted body image they have, and seek help from a healthcare provider immediately you have those concerns. Mental health issues. Puberty is also a time where mental health issues like anxiety and depression can either emerge or worsen. So what signs for withdrawal, irritability, changes in sleep patterns or eating patterns, and seek help immediately so that these issues can be addressed early. The earlier they are addressed, the better the outcome for the child. Growth and development concerns. You know, that's something that we look at as well. So if we feel that they have an unusually rapid or delayed growth, we could also know that sometimes it could relate to certain hormonal deficiencies that we like to work up. Now, delayed puberty. I always tell people that while puberty typically starts between the ages of 8 and 13 in girls, normally 9 and 14 in boys, some children may experience delayed puberty. If your child has not started puberty by the age of 13, so they have not seen a breast bud by the age of 13, then that is one of the signs of delayed puberty. There's lack of breast at age of 13. If they've not seen menstruation by the age of 16, then that's also a sign of there's something being delayed there as well. Now, during this time, there's also what we have adolescents become more independent. They start exploring their sexuality, right? So it's important to educate them on safe sex practices. Don't think that because you're going to sit down and talk to them about sex education, they're going to go ahead and have it. No, it's actually the flip side of that. So if you don't talk to your kids early about safe sex practice, they may end up making the wrong choice because the feelings and what happens during that period is almost like nature, is natural. So they're going to experience it, they're going to feel it, and they don't have an equipped with the right knowledge, they're going to make mistakes and wrong choices. So it's very important. And also, we always talk about substance abuse. I always have to throw that in there because it's when they want to experiment. That adventure spirit comes up from somewhere. So you have to educate your child about the risk of substance abuse and monitor for signs of substance abuse and abuse, especially in our time right now where all these things seem to be so readily available. We have to make sure we educate our children. All right. Another thing we'll talk about. We did that unusual emotional behavior concerns. Let me see if I have another question here. I'm going to now talk about something. You know, we talked about delayed puberty. There's something else called precocious puberty, when puberty comes too early. So I don't want to miss that. It's very important that you understand that anytime your child under the age of 8, all right, starts growing breast buds early, it's important that you see the doctor, your healthcare provider, gynecologist, because that's abnormal. And that is very important because remember, we also have the growth spurt coming up. So when we talk about early puberty, we always worry also that way that the body works, that if a child starts too early, the bone growth will close up, will stop too early. And that sometimes will make a child not reach their potential heights as well, but also it has other effects on a child when they start very early to have signs of puberty. So below the age of 8, please do take your child. If your child starts having breast buds at 6, it's not normal, and the child needs to be evaluated. It's very, very, very important. Now, to round this up, I'm just going to say a few more words about menstrual hygiene. All right. And this is just, you know, because we're almost, I mean, there's so much to talk about puberty, and it will take, I'm sure, multiple episodes. And so I'm just going to round this up by first saying something on menstrual hygiene. Okay. Menstrual hygiene is vital to the empowerment and well-being of girls, women and girls worldwide. It's about more than just access to sanitary pads and a proper toilet. Though those are important, it's also about ensuring women and girls live in an environment that values and supports their ability to manage their menstruation with dignity. And this was a quote from the World Vision. This is so true. So what is, do you talk about menstrual? There's three things I talk about when they about menstrual hygiene: wash, discard, change. Wash your hands before and after using the restroom and before using a menstrual product. Discard used disposable menstrual products properly, wrap them in either toilet paper or tissue or other material, and then put them in the bin, all right? Do not flush menstrual products down the toilet. Then change sanitary pads every few hours, no matter how light the flow is. Change them more free if your period is heavy. Now, when you choose tampons, that's actually very important. Never to forget the tampons in, because that could lead to infection, which is also could be very dangerous. Okay. Use most reusable period underwear is machine washable. So that's coming up now, where people are trying to get more of the menstrual underwears and they're washable. So just follow the directions to make sure they're clean. Wear lightweight, breathable clothing, such as cotton underwear. I always ask my patients to always wear cotton. It's more breathable, is lightweight. Tight fabrics can trap moisture, right, and heat, and allow germs to thrive. So I get a lot more irritation and complaints when they use other things other than cotton underwear, okay? And you must change your products frequently, the menstrual products, because, is again, that's another trapped moisture and provides a breeding ground for bacteria and fungi, and you don't want that at all. So wearing a pad or an underwear for too long can lead to an infection, okay? So that's one. Keep your genital area clean. Wash the outside. I speak this because some parents will go and wash the inside of a girl. No, 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 no. Just wash the outside of the vagina and bottom every day when they go to the bathroom. Wipe from the front of your body to the back is the way you do it, and not the other way. And most times, you know, as a guy, we always try to get people to use me only water. But I also try to say that to wash that area to avoid irritations as well. The vagina is self-cleansing. It is self-cleansing. You do not need to douche. I say a big no to that. You don't need to do it to a child as well. It changes the natural pH balance of your vagina when you do that. And that leads to you having series of different types of vaginal infections that's going to cause you a lot of discomfort. Use unscented toilet paper, tampons, or pads. Try to focus on using those kind to, again, not to change the natural pH balance and to avoid irritation. Drink enough fluids, track and monitor your period, okay? So knowing your own menstrual cycle is a good thing to teach your child to do early. It's a great way to understand your body and to understand when there are changes that you should be concerned of. So it's very important. And make sure your child always has an annual checkup. We are in a climb where people just believe in just doing vaccines and just, oh, when my vaccine or when my child is ill. No, your child should have a yearly checkup. And especially when they're going through puberty, there's a lot of reasons why you should have a wellness check every year for your kid and even for you annually to make sure that the child is having the optimal chance of health. So I have said a lot, and we've come to the end of today's episode, and there's so much more. The next two episodes, we'll continue to talk about puberty, but we'll talk about mostly the emotional, behavioral, and social aspects of puberty. Thank you for joining us in today's episode of Understanding Puberty with Dr. Chito. We hope you found my discussion with you on the physical changes of puberty enlightening and informative. Remember, understanding these transformations is key to navigating this very important stage of life with your girls with confidence and knowledge. Now, HerCast with Dr. Chito, as I said, I'm a gynecologist, isn't just another podcast. It's a movement. Our mission is to empower, educate, and elevate her life in every way possible. We believe that when women are given the tools, the knowledge, and support to thrive, they can create a brighter and more inclusive world for everyone. So by tuning into HerCast, you will join a community of like-minded individuals who are dedicated to living their best lives, girls. We have to live our best lives. Our guests, experts, and thought leaders will provide you with the guidance you need to become the best version of yourself. So don't miss upcoming episodes on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, 7 p.m., Sunday, 2 p.m. Just keep up those times on Rapper TV here, channel 176. Also, you will listen to us on your favorite podcast platforms, Apple and Spotify, and visit our YouTube page, HerCast with Dr. Chita, to watch full episodes as well. Remember to follow us at HerCast Podcast and at Dr. Chita N. You can also put all questions you have or even what future episodes you want me to do on the Instagram page. All right, so tune in next time for more insights and discussion. Until then, stay curious and, of course, continue to be empowered. Hashtag understanding puberty. Take care. Signing out, Dr. Chito.
Thank you for tuning in. You have just listened to part one of the series Understanding Puberty with Dr. Chito. To get notified when the next part comes out, don't forget to subscribe to HerCast wherever you get your podcast. And follow us on Instagram at HerCast Podcast or on TikTok at The HerCast Pod.